This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
There are a few things I'm more sure of than right now. If this whole building goes down, Bart, you got to hold me. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. I don't know what's happening in our beautiful facilities, but the whole building's shaking.
They're always drilling something or adding on to something, man. It's just
and we're like out on a pier at Seaport, right? Like, so we're out on a pier over the water. Yeah. Wait, can you swim? Are you a good swimmer?
I'm Gucci. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like, you know, Alan always wants to go jet skiing in the water. I'm like, not until I put some calamine lotion on here, man, because I just feel like you get a rash if you touch that water.
Okay, that seems a little weird to me. I will say this. I can barely swim at all, so I'm definitely going to be like...
Well, you got the basketball. That'll float. Just hold on.
No, I'm going to hang on to you. That's going to be that's my hope here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and think O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm going to learn how to read. For all your car care needs, they're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly. I just had to sing it. All right, let's get some expertise. ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks going to join us. We'll take your calls in just a few minutes. We know everybody is wildly upset, or at least reactionary to what we saw last night. So give me some sense, Bobby, as we watch. I know we got a lot to get into, but the first overall pick changed in everybody's mind about 30 seconds before the card went in. How uncommon in your experience is that?
Well, I just thought this year there was so little separation between the three players. That was the big thing. And I think, you know, certainly we rely a lot on mock drafts and the information that we get from, you know, from teams out there. So, I mean, did it surprise me? Yes. Does it happen often? Probably not. But I just thought with Paolo and Chet and Jabari, it wasn't like, you know, this was Zion and RJ Barrett, for example, right? Like if that was the case, you know, Barrett going at one, where we thought Zion was a surefire number one here. And it was three skilled players, basically kind of the same type of position. One probably with a little more upside in Holmgren, two that are ready to play in Banchero and Smith here. So, yeah, I mean, a little bit surprising, but I think if you're Orlando, I don't think it was all of a sudden like, you know, 7 o'clock hit and we're like, you know what? We're not sure this is what we're going to do. I think this is something they thought long and hard, and they probably weighed the pros and cons as far as who is it going to be, whether it be, you know, Smith or Paolo. And I think, you know, both players right now could come in and play for you for 25, you know, 30 minutes and have an impact.
You know, it was three organizations that seemingly used the draft to kind of not be in a draft in the future. It was OKC, it was the Detroit Pistons, and it was the San Antonio Spurs. Which one of these three teams do you think kind of got it right and can maybe not be in the lottery next year because of what they've done in the draft?
I think Detroit, based on – I think the Western Conference is going to be really good. So I think it's hard to see Oklahoma City, you know, even getting into the play-in spot. I think they're, you know, still, you know, a little bit away from – A little bit away from that. Same with San Antonio. I mean, the Clippers and Denver and all these other teams are going to get a lot better. We'll see what happens with the Lakers. So it's a little more challenging. I think that what Detroit is that the East is a little bit more wide open. I think Jaden Ivey is, I thought he was probably the fourth best player in this draft. Him and Cade in the backcourt is pretty electrifying. You know, Jalen Duren, they get at center. So now it's the big question is, what do you do with your money you have? You know, $50 million, is it DeAndre Ayton, because, you know, or do you not need him because you do have a center and you can go and use that on other, you know, on other other players here. And I thought for Detroit there was a body of work after the All-Star game where, you know, they were a competitive, basically 500 team that could compete with some of these playoff teams here. So I would say out of the three, they're probably closer to either the play-in or, you know, getting into the playoffs compared to the other two.
Is Kellen Hayes available now, or what do you do with Kellen Hayes? He's a young player that you drafted a couple of years ago, but now it seems like it's going to be Kay Cunningham and Jaden Ivey. Is he a guy that you hold on to and continue to try and develop? Is it a conversation that you need to have with him, or do you make him available for a team and see if you can get some veteran assets?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably more of a specialist, you know, going into – you know, into what, year three or year four here, you know, but when you're drafting the player sixth or seventh in the draft, you want him more than being a, you know, kind of a, you know, fit some type of role here. So I would think, you know, I don't think you just give him away here. I think I'm intrigued as far as, you know, whether the three can play together, whether, you know, his role coming off the bench. Eventually you'll get to a point where his rookie contract will end, or you'll have to figure out what to extend him here. So I would think he would be available if something right came along here. But I hate, you know, throwing in the towel when he's a, you know, a 20 or 21 year old.
20 years old, yeah.
We're talking to Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, Barton Hahn, Bart Scott, Jason Fitz in for Alan Hahn. So walk me through, in your experience, what the process is like. You're on the clock. You have the 11th pick in the draft, and you may not be infatuated with anybody. So now you've got to decide what you're going to do. Like, just put yourself in sort of shoes on the other foot. If you are the Knicks, how did all that go down, and what's it mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they just were throwing darts, you know, at the dartboard, like, uh-oh. I think it was, you know, certainly one of the options they had on their whiteboard as far as, hey, if the guy that we like is not here at 11, is this the best option, whether it being moving that pick to Oklahoma City and, you know, getting, you know, three first-round picks and then, you know, expanding the deal here. So I think the one thing you have to be careful about, though, is that, all right, what's the next move going to be, right? Basically, you punted on the draft. There's somebody there waiting for you in the wings. You're not just going to create $25 or $30 million of cap space and trade away the 11th pick in the draft and kind of walk away empty this offseason here, because two out of the three picks are really – they're going to probably turn into second round picks because of how heavily they were protected. And then, you know, the third is going to be conveyed in 2025. So there's got to be a plan. And I think that's kind of what we'll see in the next, you know, seven or eight days, that, you know, hey, New York wasn't comfortable at 11. They parlayed that into some future draft picks, but the cap space is going to have to go to somebody. It's not going to be have to, you know, roll over until next year.
Now that the draft is over, you know, free agency is going to be approaching us, and probably the biggest story in basketball right now is Kyrie Irving and his list, and will he opt in, or what's going to happen with him in Brooklyn? How do you see this playing out, and is it any realistic chance that he plays for anyone other than Brooklyn?
I think how it plays out, I think there's, I said it earlier, I think there's got to be a compromise here from both sides. I think there's got to, because there's so much at risk for everyone here. I mean, when, with Irving, you know, certainly what the marketplace looks like from financially this offseason, there's no teams out there that can, Lakers can't sign him, the Clippers can't sign him to that big number, Miami, some of the Philly, some of those other teams here, the likelihood is that sign and trade is not available to do here. I think from Brooklyn's perspective, you bring Irving, Durant, Simmons, and, you know, we'll figure out what they do with your bench. You're probably a top three or top four team. And if you don't bring Irving back, then the Durant factor, you know, weighs in heavily as far as what's the future of Kevin going to be on your roster here. So that's why I just said, like, yeah, everybody's got to kind of check their egos at the door here and figure out what's a compromise. And if Kyrie Irving's not willing to kind of come off that, you know, 4 years, you know, I guess, you know, guaranteed number, then Brooklyn's going to have to make a decision. And when they make that decision, they're going to have to realize what the consequences are going to be.
If you were a GM, how comfortable would you be in a sign and trade situation acquiring Kyrie?
For a year or for 4 years?
For 4 years.
Not at all. I wouldn't do it. He's a max player, Jason, but he's a year to year max player. Unfortunately, the business doesn't work that way, right? Like, we rarely see guys on a, you know, 2 year deal or the player option here. I would not trade for him if I have to commit 4 years.
Can you put in team options where you teams can opt out? I know players be having opt in and opt outs. Can a team put some of those in?
I think if you're the Nets, that's probably something that you want to do. I think there's something you want to protect yourself on the back end here. I think if you're a team that, you know, sign and trades, you have to, it's a 3 year deal, a minimum. That's part of, you know, that's, you can't just be a sign and trade and it's a 1 year deal. So you're getting him for at least 3 years here.
Before we let you go, Bobby, I always love the fact, and for anyone that doesn't know, you have more front office experience than everybody here, right? So when you watch the draft and you watch it all the way to the end, and you just sort of raise a glass to your peers, was there a team that maybe you looked at and said, man, y'all did it right tonight?
Yeah, I thought Houston. I really like, and I texted with their GM, Rafael Stone, this morning. I just thought that you guys did a great job. You hit on your picks. Jabari at 3, Tari Eason from LSU at 17, Ty Washington at 29. All three certainly position players of need, guys that if you develop the right way could have an impact on their roster. It's, you know, the draft is not an exact science. I don't know if anybody's figured it out yet, but I thought at least last night they did get it right.
Great stuff from you as always, Bobby. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for the time. Get some rest,
thanks,
you know,
guys,
for like 4 minutes before we get into free agency.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA Front Office Insider. I'm glad he mentioned the Rockets, too, because we forget in all the chaos, 3 picks in the first round for a team that is trying to rebuild to something. You know, chef's kiss that, you know, you've got Bobby, who knows the league better than most, saying, hey, you nailed those 3 clips. Nothing's certain, but that's at least better than most. You guys have stacked the lines, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we're going to let you take over. We're going to get all the phones working. But first, Bart's going to tell you everything you got to know about Dollar Shave Club.
Oh, man, I told you every hour, man. But if you didn't hear me and you're just tuning in, you ever have a shave? Have you ever had a shave? So knows to be smooth that people want to touch it. I mean, like a friendly pat on the cheek turns into a full-on cheek rub. Well, that's the kind of shave that you get with the Dollar Shave Club 6-Blade Razor then when you buy it. The Dollar Shave Club 6-Blade Razor brings noticeably smooth shaves with 6 stainless steel blades for swift hair removal and a lubricating strip that keeps things smooth. The Dollar Shave Club 6-Blade Razor is here to get your chin noticed and come get it at a fair price. Dollar Shave Club razors are sold at DollarShaveClub.com or in stores.
Gonna give it to you. Spartan Hunt on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. One of us is Bart Scott, the other's Jason Fitz. I'll let you guess which one's which. All right, we're going to take your calls. You guys are fired up about the Knicks. Obviously, Stephen A. fired up about the Knicks last night. You'll hear a little bit of what Stephen A. has had to say coming up in a second. But I want you guys to take over since you are so fired up about everything going on. We're going to go to Super Rositi, and we'll see this. Super Rositi, what you got?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How's everybody doing?
We're great.
Great. Okay, I got 2 topics I want to touch on right quick. I want to actually have a conversation. So when y'all make your comment, I want to get
a rebuttal. Bro. Here's Super Sweet City, man. You can't come and produce our show, man. Just hit us with what you got, man.
Bro, I'm just trying to say, hey, man, let a brother get a little bit more extra time, brother. You know, we Michiganders, man. Look out for me, man. So anyway, this is the super perspective, and starting with the draft and then going to Kyrie. Actually, let's go to Kyrie right quick. Kyrie Irving has every right to make demands. Yes, he does. If I'm a team owner, brother to brother, me and him, I say, okay, brother, make your demands. But I would like for you to kind of meet me halfway. For people to have the audacity to say this man shouldn't make demands are crazy. Who is this man? What has he done? He's in the top 15 best players right now, and he has a championship ring. Is he a little wishy-washy on certain issues that have came up? Oh, well, okay, yes, he has been. But I would give him the option. I would say, look, let's make an option. I want you to stay with us for 4 years. But if you feel like things are too turmoil around the world and it's messing with you emotionally and psychologically and you want to opt out, or we could opt out, that's what I would do. But for all these people to say, he has the nerve and the audacity. That's right. He's one of the best there is. And KD is doing the right thing by standing by him. Now let's go to the draft. The optics of it was terrible. You're right, Bart. The optics of it was terrible of mothers, black mothers, mostly there for their sons. And the black men, the African-American men, were not played up front properly enough. That has to stop. That has to be addressed. I was pissed off because it was so many mothers just put up front without the African-American man. But we've seen when it was a white player that got drafted, he had a father figure up there or a father. They made sure of that.
No. Wait. I'm going to chime in as the white guy on this show. Who made sure of that? Because the ESPN's broadcast did not tell anybody who they could or could not bring up with them. So who is they in your equation?
Whoever they may be.
No. That's not a specific answer. You can't hit me with the they. You can't hit me with the they and accuse the network that I work for of being racist in the way we allow people to come up to a microphone and then not tell me specifically who they is.
Well, let's just say whoever they is.
It can't be. It can't be.
All right, we're good. The
only issue I had with them not mentioning Javen, his dad, is because he was there and right. I saw him. So it's like, okay, he's there. And part of the story about his, well, we always talk about pedigree, is that his dad is a professional athlete, and Javen, his grandfather, dad was a professional athlete. So you talk about the pedigree, you talk about where the athleticism comes from. He will be the third generation of professional athletes in his family. That's why I was saying that. It wasn't a black or white thing.
No, and I think it's an important story to tell. You and I know each other well enough to know.
It's a story to tell.
I think it's an important story to tell. The only thing, the reason I cut Super off is because when you start coming into these situations, you have to define who they is.
Can't say they.
There was nobody involved. Like Monica McNutt, who, by the way, was a effing superstar last night with those interviews. Monica's sitting in a couch. There is nobody involved in that process that tells the young man
you
who to bring up to the couch.
Yeah.
They got to bring whoever they wanted, which is why sometimes you saw two people, sometimes you saw one person. They could bring whoever they wanted to the couch. So the concept that there was anybody preventing somebody to come from the couch does not mean that there couldn't have been a better job of telling that very particular story.
That's the only story I've said because I know that one personally.
Right, and that's the reason. I think it's important, and anybody that works in this business knows, and anybody that works for our company knows that it's important that we hold each other accountable to making sure we are doing the right job representing everybody in this process. And I take it seriously when you look at all of these moments because there are so many people behind the scenes that work their butts off to make these shows great. So that's the reason that I look at they and I say, hey, give me specifics. We'll always talk in specifics on that.
You got to show your work.
Yeah, 100%. James in Jersey. James, thanks for calling the show, man. What you got?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. A couple of things. Passing on Jaden Ivey, not moving up in the draft, and giving us Jalen Brunson is equal to passing on DeMar DeRozan and giving us Evan Fournier. I know Kyrie Irving is not coming to us. It's like he's pulling a Kawhi Leonard, you know, using the Lakers. And I wanted to address the front office. Now, it's been 8 years since they got rid of Carmelo Anthony. Since then, OKC's stockpiled draft picks for like the next, you know, 10 years, and Detroit turned their season around in 2 years. And I wanted to use the Philadelphia 76ers as an example of how you could appear like you know what you're doing, but when you run into real general managers that know what they're doing, that they take you for everything that you have. Now, when Philadelphia was structuring their team, they ran into Jerry West, they ran into Pat Riley and Danny Ainge. And Danny Ainge stole Jason Tatum, Pat Riley stole Jimmy Butler, and Jerry West sold you a lemon in Tobias Harris when you knew you needed a franchise point guard. And then you still doubled down, and when you had a little bit of cash space, you went in and signed Al Horford when you knew you should have still got a franchise point guard, you know, and that's like, and now Philadelphia has two jokers and no face cards, you know, and they're still shuffling the deck. And that's what I'm saying. This is what the New York Knicks appear that they know what they're doing. They're trying to be the smartest people in the room. And all we got out of this draft was Bitcoin. You know, there's nothing that we have to take for.
Oh, James, you win the day for the Bitcoin and out. I think that they're right, but let's go back to the Knicks history. It's not like they haven't tried repeatedly to bring in, like, we all know the Phil Jackson thing was not what anybody wanted, but they tried, right? Like, so if you're asking Dolan.
But the dysfunctional thing is they let him take a pick when he was leaving. Like, how the hell are you going to let him make the pick for Neal Aquina and he's leaving? He ain't here.
And you've been in so many organizations. I think the GM spot. I don't care what the sport is. I think GM is the under-talked about portion of this.
That's the guy that buys the groceries. And sometimes that helps make the meal and cook it into a stew. I was around Ozzie Newsome. I was around Mike Tannenbaum. Mike Tannenbaum, when he was here, made some tremendous moves, bringing in Brett Favre, which brought in Alan Faneca, then brought in Damon Woody. He didn't draft as well as Ozzie did. Ozzie's kind of a little better as far as a general manager, but it was two guys that always swung for the fences, being able to make the trade for Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes, who was key in our success in those two AFC championships.
Yeah, and I look at all of that and think, no matter what your job is, like if you're a carpenter and one carpenter has better tools than the other, then that house is going to be better built. Like if you're a chef. And if two chefs are competing and they're anywhere close to being equal in their abilities,
ingredients
matter. And that is a part of it that is equally difficult. The hardest part of being a sports fan, though, is what do you do when you look around and you realize that the person in charge of identifying talent, and I mean the ownership group at that point, that has to identify the entire talent tree isn't great. Like, this is what I think Cowboys fans need.
Dave Gettleman.
Dave Gettleman's a good example. Like, what do you do when your owner isn't the best at finding the right GM, which means the GM doesn't find the right coach, which means everything goes haywire? Like, that's the most defeating feeling you have in all of sports. You guys want to absolutely you want to absolutely carry the show. We're going to let you keep chiming in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, big news today that could affect the relationship between a star and one of the most important teams in all of sports. We'll tell you about it next. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
We got a massive moves being made in Major League Baseball. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And now a no-frills ad brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Here it is. You can say big when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive. That's it. See? Just a good old-fashioned, straightforward ad. See if you could save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or progressive.com. He's Bart Scott. I'm Jason Fitz in for Alan Hahn. And we knew it was going to be an interesting day for Yankees fans. And Aaron Judge last night gets them the walk-off win. All eyes on arbitration happening today, obviously. That was the question was, what was it going to be? How was it going to play out? Well, we now know the answer to that. Just shy of arbitration, remembering Aaron Judge wanted $21 million and the organization wanted to give him $19 million. I asked earlier in the show, why would they go into a situation where the team has to actually go in and, poo-poo the player in front of a judge to save a few million bucks? Turns out they didn't have to go to that process. Before they went to arbitration, they settled on a $19 million contract for 2022.
Which is surprising to me. Right. I don't know why Judge, with the season that he's having, would compromise. Like, I know that you're not supposed to take into account what he's doing this year, but damn it, I'm not blind. I see that this guy just won. Listen, they're going to have to go through Houston. Houston's having a great season. Maybe not as great as a season as the Yankees are having. But listen, this is a long season. This is a marathon, not a sprint. And he just showed you what his worth was when he came up clutch. And now you want to embarrass him. Like, I told you what he's made up to this point. I mean, he's had 4 years where he's made under seven digits. For people out there, less than $1 million. And he is one of the best baseball players. You mean to tell me that you're going to shortchange him over $2 million? So I tell you what, this is what's going to happen. And we see this happen all the time. We saw this happen with Davante Adams, right, when we assume it is no way that he would leave Aaron Rodgers. It is no way, right? And you don't think that Aaron Judge is going to remember how you treated him? And, like, I'm a homegrown talent. I've given you guys everything that you've asked for. I've lived up to expectations. I've exceeded expectations. Not only have I been good on the field, I am tremendous for your brand, right? I sell your brand. I am the closest thing to Derek Jeter that you've had since he's left. And you guys are going to shortchange me $2 million? It's not like it's $38 million to $40. It's $17 million to $21 million. That is not even the highest on the squad. So you're going to treat me like that, but everybody else that you bring from outside, I'm making $2 million more than DJ LeMahieu. Who's more important, DJ or me? So if that's how you feel, keep that same energy when you expect me to feel a certain way about you opposed to teams that are showing me how much they love me by the monetary value that they're giving me. So keep that same energy, because when it comes to straight business, which is what y'all kept it at, and y'all didn't take all the intangibles into account, I'm going to keep it straight business when it comes to dollars and cents in the offseason when I'm a free agent.
There's a phrase that so many of the younger people that I work with and I know in life use all the time, know your worth, right? And Know your worth is an important concept for a lot of athletes that have a better understanding than ever before coming into any of their sports day one. I think athletes have the best understanding of know your worth that we've ever seen. And when you talk about Aaron Judge, I'm not talking for Yankees fans. I'm not talking about Aaron Judge on the field for a second. So press pause on that conversation. Aaron Judge is what I like to call Dancing with the Stars famous. And what I mean by that is there are not a lot of people in any sport that you could just add to Dancing with the Stars. And most people, even if they don't watch the sport, are like, oh, that guy. You know, that there are certain people that resonate different, right? And so, and it doesn't matter in sports or music, same thing. Like, there's certain people that want to be on Dancing with the Stars because they need Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
And there's certain people that Dancing with the Stars want because Dancing with the Stars needs them.
Yep.
Aaron Judge is a name. Like, there is a Q factor to very few baseball players where you can say, okay, he's going on Good Morning America to promote his new fruit juice. People will care about that. Aaron Judge is good for business. And I don't care what team we're talking about. Aaron Judge is good for business. And in my mind, when you're good for business and you happen to be a good baseball player, why are you going down this road in the first place? The fact that they avoided arbitration, to your point, helps them today. But I'm not sure there wasn't already enough damage done in feeling valued. Think about what Hahn said earlier. We're talking to Alan Hahn earlier, and he said when Jabari came up to them after the third pick and they asked everybody, you know, how he was feeling knowing that he went to Houston with the third pick instead of going with the first pick overall to Orlando, he cut them off and said, I'm going where I'm wanted. And that logic, I don't care what you do for a living. You want to feel valued in what you do. The fact that we even got here with Aaron Judge, Bart, to me, that speaks to like a lack of valuation. And now you got to figure out, if you're the Yankees, how you kumbaya, how you make that up, how you get everybody back on the same page.
You tell me how you feel, you know, the first time. You can't come back and double down, you know, when I come back and prove you wrong, right? I bet on myself for a reason because I felt like my value was worth that. Just think, it's just almost like with Dak Prescott, right? When you look at Dak Prescott, and because he was a fourth-round draft pick, you know, what they had paid him up to that point. He's like, man, I've been underpaid for 3 years. Where Aaron Judge has been grossly underpaid for the last 4 years. They took care of Severino early. They took care of Hicks early. I'm sitting here, and I'm one of the ones out of the baby bombers that actually, you know, made the transition to becoming an adult bomber, right? You think about, you know, Garrett Byrd, right? You think about Gleyber Torres, right? You think about, even though he was acquired in a trade, you think about all those guys that they had that they thought was going to be the next big, you know, part of their core. Aaron Judge is the best of all of them. You know, most of them aren't even still there. So, like, the fact that you treat me like that, and I'm from the farm system, I'm homegrown, listen, man, I'm going to holler at you.
All over $4 million, which, again, I stole this from Bart earlier. They could have just made a new T-shirt. Yep. And, like, here's the new Aaron Judge T-shirt. Would have made
They always have the Star Wars night, right? Make a Star Wars Aaron Judge with the big, nice Michael Strahan gap, and you would have sold out and made your money back.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you put it like that, then you wonder why it was ever worth getting at that point. Has Hahn been recognized at a, you know, Yankees Star Wars night yet? Like, with the last name, it feels like
I know. Well, you know what? CeCe's a huge, like, Star Wars fan, and they kind of have, like, this little – they dork out, you know what I mean? Because – I know Star Wars and I watch it, but I'm not like a Trek. Well, that's almost went Trekkie on them. I'm not a Star Wars connoisseur. I like the Mandalorian and all that good stuff, but yeah, man, like,
got to get with the times, big guy.
it's time.
I mean, I like the old Billy D stuff. I like when they came back.
Why always come back to Billy D with you?
I like the orange because he was just like the coolest man. Any dude that can sell your mama malt liquor. Like, he gave your mom malt liquor, and she is turned on. Like, oh, Coke 45, baby. Like, what? That ain't even wine. You couldn't give me no Andre's wine, no Bach wine. You think we sophisticated with suds on the top?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be sexy. We supposed to get it down because I'm drinking malt liquor with you?
No, you're right.
But Billy D sold it. So any man that can do that is a hero of mine. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what galaxy he on.
And by the way, CeCe, big Raiders fan. So when you want an intro to me to CeCe, let's just throw us on a group thread. Tune into an NL Battle Sunday. Braves host the Dodgers. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. Coming up, you guys chiming in. You're still fired up. We're going to let you keep doing it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And what Bart can't wait to see. See, what was that? Can't wait!
Say what you said. Yeah.
Can't wait! I got nothing to see this week. Okay, yeah, I got nothing. I'm a little man. What, he can't wait to see this weekend next?
Bart and Hahn.
Bart Scott. Jason Fitz in for Alan Hahn. Taking your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Crawford in New York. Crawford, I've heard a hot rumor that you are a happy Yankees fan, which we need some joy. Hit me. Or Knicks fan, sorry. Hit, we need some joy. Give me what you got.
Hey, I went into this draft hoping the Knicks will draft defensive players. They simply weren't available. So my second choice was look at who we can get as free agents or as a trade. And my target was DeJounte Murray and OG Anunoby. We put ourselves in a position to get both of those guys. Last year, the Knicks was finished second in the NBA in defense. This year, we finished 22nd. So we need to get rid of a couple of our bad defenders.
Yeah.
In my book, Obi Toppin and Evan Fournier needs to go.
Yeah. See, I don't know if you give up on Obi Toppin because he is a so athletic young player. Like, it's only his second year. And, you know, he could get more time. That's fixable. Evan Fournier has a history of being a bad defender, and he's not interested in doing anything but shooting three-pointers. And that was a bad signing last year. You should have known that when Boston made a trade for him and then decided to let him go, you know, moving forward. So I do agree with you. The Knicks have to get back to being a great defensive team because you see the teams that have longevity. You look at the guys who are in the championship. It was 1-2 in defensive rankings, right? When you think about the Golden State Warriors, you think about the Boston Celtics. So I think, listen, you go back and you work with Obi Toppin, but you know maybe Jalen Brunson brings that toughness and able to get you in half court sets where it's not just iso ball with Julius Randle holding the ball. Maybe you actually can get into a set and he can get the offense orchestrated.
Yeah, I think the Obi part is really the toughest part of it because it feels like he just is going to need minutes.
Yeah, because he's athletic. It's not like he doesn't have the ability. You know, he can jump. He's kind of skinny, man. I can't believe his legs are so little, man.
Yeah.
They got to start eating. You know, he needs to go hang out with Zion for 1 week, you know what I'm saying, then come back and he'll have his man body.
I think you had to know, too, that there was going to be an adjustment for him getting into the NBA. So if you know from the minute you drafted somebody that there's going to be an adjustment for him, then you got to give him time to make that adjustment. Not everybody's body changes at the same pace, too.
He's like a 25-year-old rookie, but that's beyond the point.
That is fair. But once you're in, you got to give it a little bit of time, right? Yeah. Like, think about how many guys you played with that needed to put on some size.
Like that fourth year before they become a man and they learn how to, you know, their body, and you have to do it naturally. You can just dump a bunch of weight on like Mitchell Robinson did last year. He was like Shaquille O'Neal with the calf, just tipping over and falling all the time.
Yeah, and again, if the guy wasn't there that could make them better right away, at least the Knicks are making progress step by step. People may not love that, though.
There is so much going on in sports this weekend. Bart's got.
Can't wait.
Can't wait on Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz in for Alan Hahn. Sitting next to Bart Scott, presented by Progressive. Can't wait, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Your professional parts people. Bart, what can't you wait for?
I tell you what, man. It's like the beginning of summer. You know, things are getting sparse. No basketball. You know, a lot of things not going on, but I'll tell you what is going on and something I'm excited for. If yesterday was any indication of what this series is going to be about, you know, Judge with the walk-off, the Yankees and Astros, the day after Judge, hopefully he's happy and the team is happy that they finally got that behind them and they can focus on trying to win a championship. I'm excited. I can't wait to see how this series turns out. Bad blood between these two teams. We all understand the history, but they're on a collision course. So what type of information, tipping, things, stole, buzzards, whatever's going to be going on right now to kind of figure out how they're going to utilize this information for later when this thing counts for real. So I can't wait to see what happens in this series. And if it gets a little chippy, which usually it always does because Bregman is the habitual line stepper, and he's a guy that is the perfect agitator, perfect heel for this series to spark into an inferno. So I can't wait for that. And secondly, I mean, listen, right now, this hockey series, you know, the Lightning came back and you heard Rudy T, never underestimate the heart of a champion. Well, I'm underestimating this champion right now because it seems like they finally fallen flat on their face after playing so much hockey over the last 3 to 4 seasons. They're trying to be the dynasty. They're trying to get their third title and close the gap on the Islanders of the 80s. Allen's great Islander teams that won 4 in a row. They're trying to be a dynasty of 3 to 3-peat, makes you a dynasty. But I think they're just running to a team that has fresher legs than they have and are playing tremendous. And I think Colorado takes care of business in the high altitude and close it out, lightning out.
Colorado's got too many legs. I think you're right. We're letting you guys chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I can't wait to come over to your place for a barbecue this weekend. Tony in California. Tony, what you got?
Hey, you know who's making as much money as Aaron Judge right now?
It's
Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger and Aaron Judge are making the same right now. And Cody Bellinger has had over 1,000 at-bats since 2019, June 2019. And he's only hitting .220, and now he's making, and now Judge is only making as much as Cody Bellinger. It's crazy.
Thanks for the call. That's great insight. And I'll say this to everybody that rolls fans. Bart and I were talking about this during a commercial. Imagine if you walked into work every day, and next to your nameplate, or next to on your desk or on your cubicle, was just sitting a little placard that said exactly how much you make per hour, per year, whatever it is. Exactly how much you. Imagine if you're sitting in your spreadsheet making company, and your boss walks in and says, "Everybody, welcome Patrick. Patrick's new to the team and makes $90,000." And you're like, "Whoa! Patrick's making how much?
Why Patrick make 90? I'm making 75.
I mean, these are the moments. If you're Aaron Judge, you're looking around. You're like, wait, I'm making how much?
He's 30.
And y'all are making how much on my merchandise? Oh, like that.
People ain't going to the thing and say, hey, let me get them extra, let me get that Gleyber Torres jacket.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. Tony in Syracuse also wants to chime in on Aaron Judge. Tony, thanks for calling the show. What you got?
Yeah, thanks, guys. I hardly ever call to these shows, but I just got to chime in on Aaron Judge there. I know that there's been talk that, at the end of the season, maybe, San Francisco might take a run at him, but please, I just have a question. Is there any possible way that the Yankees just don't sign him? I don't see that ever happening. I mean, he is the face of the franchise. I mean, like you guys mentioned earlier with Jeter, but I just hope to God that we find a way to sign this guy, because the year that he's having, and I just want to know what you guys, your thoughts on that, and I appreciate the let me chime in.
Yeah, Tony, thanks for calling. For me, like 20%. And that, what I mean by 20% is the minute I walk in, I'm like, you did that to me for the last year. The convenience fee to that is 20% on top of whatever we thought this contract would be.
Yeah, whatever you offered, if that's not higher than what we're talking about, and we're not coming in the middle, son. We're not coming in the middle. I want what I said I wanted. If you can't give me that, I'm out, because I proved everything that you said I couldn't do this year. So if you can't give me that, peace.
I've spent most of my career at ESPN trying to listen to the former athletes I work with. And if there's any big takeaway I've had from that, like more than anything, I've learned that business is something most athletes at the highest level have a tremendous understanding of. Value is, but the most important part about it is feeling like you are respected as a man or a woman. Yep. And I have watched on both sides. I've watched men and women, female professional athletes, walk away from opportunity because they wanted to go somewhere where they were respected. And money is a huge part of that respect.
Yeah.
If you're Aaron Judge and you feel disrespected right now, man, you're jacking that price.
Especially when I had the great season of one season, most people want to tap in on it, and I didn't say anything. Like, and I've been playing at a high level, undervalued, making under $1 million for the first 4 years of my Yankees career. Now I'm in year six, and you still don't want to give me the money? Like, you owe me money from overperforming from years before. I've watched you bring in bums. I've got the dude that played and never played out there from the Red Sox that they got. Dude, he was here for 5 years. Y'all never played. He never played. And y'all gave him over $100 million.
Think about, like, the grand scheme of you told – the Yankees told Aaron Judge, basically, through this whole process, bet on yourself. He did. Yeah. He is winning that bet now. Mm-hmm. When you know you're winning that bet
– Would this be one of the classic I bet on myself? Like, I think the one who the best right now is Joe Flacco. Like, bet on himself, and he Super Bowl MVP. They had to give him the money. Like, if Judge stays at this pace – he don't pay for like 50, a 60.
If Judge continues this way, then he'll be able to come in and say, anybody will sign him.
Yeah.
So now that you know anybody will sign him, his question when he walks into the Yankees is, why should I re-sign here? Yeah. We know why the Yankees would want Aaron Judge at that point.
Oh, this is the Yankees. Everybody, oh, this is the Yankees logo. Yankees logo ain't meant nothing in 12 years. We ain't won nothing in 12 years. So miss me with all that, you know, historical, you know, perspective, because I don't really care about that. Because the history I care about is the now history, not the past history. It means nothing to me, son.
It's also just walking into the room and knowing that you have value to the organization you're playing with. I don't care who you work for. I don't care what you do for a living. Feeling important when you walk in the door, that's a huge step. And the Yankees, to me, took a huge step backwards.
Look what they pay A-Rod. They pay A-Rod just because they wanted him to break his records in a Yankees uniform. And I need my cheese.
Kenny now. And Carlin going to eat all the cheese next. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great weekend. Barton Hahn on ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.